If you leave the church because you had a bad experience, does that mean your faith wasn't real all along? This is The Awkward Apocalypse, a deconstruction podcast that examines Christian culture against the authority of Scripture. I'm Corey Kuhn, and today I'd like to talk about church hurt.
This is the catchy theme song. This is the catchy theme song.
Facts don't care about your feelings. This is something I've heard over and over and over, whether it's videos of political commentators demolishing snowflakes on YouTube, or if it's just someone in a casual argument or conversation that I'm having. I hear that all the time. And I actually agree with it, partially. I agree with the statement that facts don't care about your feelings because they really don't. Like, the sky is blue regardless of how you feel about it. Feelings, in that sense, do not dictate reality. You cannot define reality with your experiences and with the things that you want to be true. So in that sense, facts don't care about your feelings is a true statement. Even though I often don't like the tone with which it is spoken, it kind of is true. Facts really don't care how you feel about them. But I think what's often missed when that is spoken is that feelings actually are themselves facts. Now, what I mean by that is not that you can define reality with your feelings. I'm not saying that you can take your feelings and because you feel a certain way, then however you feel about gravity or the color of the sky or something like that can actually change reality. What I'm saying is that if you feel a certain way, that is a fact. Like, if I'm upset that my football team lost, that's a fact. Like, that is a fact. I am upset. And so, in that sense, feelings kind of are facts, and they are important when you're talking about, like, racial injustice or something like that. So to look at someone and just say facts don't care about your feelings, well, the feelings that they're experiencing are themselves facts that you should consider. Because Corey is upset is a fact in the same way that the sky is blue is a fact. So when you're dealing with some sort of issue, in this case, what we're talking about today is church hurt. When you're dealing with that issue, it's really important to remember that the feelings of those who have been through something like church hurt do matter. It does matter how they feel. And to just come after it and say, facts don't care about your feelings, you never had a relationship with God in the first place, is kind of harsh. And it's also ignoring the fact of the feelings that are intimately tied to the situation. That's the point I'm really making in this introduction. Because what I want to talk about today is something that's really, really common in the sort of the deconstruction world. And it's this constant accusation that is leveled against those who are leaving the church because they have experienced hurt. Like, just pause right there. This is an attack leveled against people who have left the church because they've been hurt. So those who have been hurt are being attacked with this statement. And the statement goes something like this. If you had a bad experience at a church and you left God and decided that Christianity wasn't true because of that bad experience that you had, then you never truly had faith. You never truly had a relationship with God. You just had religion. You just had a relationship with people. You were only going to church for the wrong reasons. And this just merely exposed sort of the, I guess, hypocrisy or the inauthenticity of your faith. If that feels weird to you, if that feels wrong to you, that's because it actually is. That's a kind of a terrible thing to say to someone who's been through something like church hurt or even something traumatic. And it also is really, really oversimplifying a pretty complicated topic. And I mean, the statement itself is pretty harsh and inconsiderate. I mean, just consider this for a second. Deconstruction has become such a threat to the established institutional church that now they want to gaslight people who are leaving the church back into the pews, or maybe just throw one last stone at them before the door shuts behind them. Like, that's where we're at right now. And I think that this statement just sort of encapsulates the coldness with which a lot of people approach the topic of deconstruction. And I think it just also shows that they don't really understand what deconstruction is all about. Now, while in some cases, this statement that, you know, if you left the church, then your faith wasn't real, might be true in some cases, but I think it ignores just how complex of an issue this actually is. It fails to understand really how humans operate. And I think it really doesn't understand the gravity of what they've been through and how that can truly affect an individual. And so that's really what I want to look at here today. How is this statement missing the point? And how complex is this issue really of people leaving the church? The church hurt you, not God. That's a true statement for a lot of people, and it's true sort of in theory. But unfortunately, people are not people of theory. They are people of experience. They are people of biases. They are people whose beliefs are greatly affected by the morality and by the fidelity of those who also practice those same beliefs and those who are authority figures within those belief systems. So, in other words, people are really complicated and they don't just believe things without support or without community. Community and social structures have a huge influence over what we as human beings believe. This is why you tend to see religions concentrated in certain areas. Those who believe certain religious beliefs tend to be around other people who believe the same things. Like, people concentrate themselves into communities where they support each other and uphold the beliefs of their peers. This is normal. It's really, really hard to be a Muslim in the Bible Belt South. Like, you just really don't see that. And it's not that people aren't exposed to the Islamic faith. I mean, I've read the Quran, and I know a lot of other people have studied Islam, and it's just very, very unlikely that anyone would become a Muslim in the Bible Belt South, at least those who live like me in like suburban white communities, because you're just around Christianity constantly. It is far more likely that you are going to adopt the beliefs of your parents and those around you and hold on to those beliefs. And then when you reach a place like, for me, it was high school, but for most people, it's probably going to be college, where suddenly you're around a lot of atheists. Now, suddenly atheism is looking more like an option. It's looking more like a viable option for you to believe in because you're in an environment where those beliefs are supported. And so environment plays a huge role in what you believe. And I mean, most people who hold beliefs, they believe that they are right and that their beliefs are the correct version of reality. And the reason they think that is because everyone around them tends to affirm what they believe. It is very rare for someone to hold beliefs that literally no one else in their community holds. That takes a very strong-willed and unique type of person, and that's not normal. It's normal that your beliefs conform mostly to those around you. And so as we're looking at this topic of church hurt, it's very important to keep that in mind, that as your environment changes, it is much harder to hold on to the beliefs that you once held dear. And so for those people who have been through something in their church that pushed them out, or they were hurt in some way and they leave the church, it is now far less likely that they will continue to be a Christian. Not because they never had true faith. They might have, or they might still have true faith. The issue is they are no longer in a support system. They're no longer part of a community because they've either been pushed out, or they have chosen to leave, or they have been hurt so badly that they really like couldn't be part of that community any longer. And so those people probably won't continue to be Christians. Like, it is more likely that they will find something else because they have been hurt so badly by the support system they once had. And in that sense, our experience is very intimately tied to our beliefs. And it's not just about belonging to a support group or a community. It actually goes deeper than that. See, when we form beliefs, we look to the authority figures in our lives, our parents, pastors, teachers, whoever it is who's helping to shape the beliefs that we have as we grow, and we actually begin to lean into those beliefs. We believe they are true because the good people in our lives, the people who have authority, the smart people, they're the ones who are telling us that these beliefs are true. So like, Christianity is true because I go to service every Sunday and the pastor, who's a really smart, good guy, is telling me that Jesus loves me and that the Bible is true. And so I am more likely to trust that because I trust him, because I trust my parents, because I trust my friends. When I think about Christianity not being true, I immediately think, well, all these people in my life can't be wrong. All these good people who I trust can't be wrong. So the people in our lives help determine what we believe because we trust those people, because we look to them, because we find comfort in that community. and we begin to want Christianity to be true. So it isn't just about accepting it as true as a sort of a fact. It's actually you want it to be true because it's come to define your life. It's defined your social environment. It's defined how you orient yourself towards your future, your purpose, your meaning. I mean, literally everything about you comes to be defined by your beliefs in such a way that you kind of hold on to them tightly. And for a lot of people, that increases their faith, is this desire to be right. These people are more likely to ignore counter evidence. They're going to cling to apologetics and just believe. And even if people bring threats against their beliefs, they'll dig in their heels and double down on what they believe because they want it to be true. And that's a huge part of how we form beliefs. We want the things we think are true to be true. There aren't very many people who believe something and say, I wish it wasn't true, but I believe it anyways, I guess. I mean, it's more common to find people who believe something and then hold on to it tightly. That's normal. So what happens when the people you trust, the authority figures, the pastors, the parents, hurt you so badly and betray that trust that you had in them as sources of authority, as sources of truth? Well, what happens is your beliefs are undermined. You begin to question everything because you say, okay, I trusted these people as the source of truth, and now they betrayed me. They hurt me. I was taught my entire life that Christians are good people, that we're the good guys. And you know, the world out there and all its fallenness and brokenness and depravity and depression and meaninglessness and emptiness, they just don't get it. That's the enemy out there. If you want to experience hurt, that's where you go. You go out into the world and the world hurts you, but the church is a safe place. And the people in the church, those are safe people. They're good people. Christians are the good guys. We're the good people. And if you stay within our community, you will experience joy and happiness and you will be one of the good people. So what happens when the church is the enemy? What happens when the pastors are abusive or when the congregants are nasty jerks? Like, what does that do to your beliefs? Because not only does that make it harder to believe in Christianity just because the people you don't like are Christians, but it actually undermines what you have been taught Christianity is. It undermines the belief system they taught you to accept. And so then you find yourself floating around saying, okay, well, I don't know what's true anymore. I don't have an authority figure telling me what to believe. And I talk about this all the time on this podcast, but humans really, really like having people tell them what to believe. We don't like doing the hard work of finding our beliefs ourselves. And those who do don't tend to stay there very long. And so people who leave the church, they don't tend to stay in this sort of like uncertain position for very long. They're going to gravitate towards some group or some community or some person who's going to say, I have the answers for you. I understand what you've been through. Now I'm the good guy. And where you came from, those are the bad guys. And people tend to make that conversion pretty quickly and pretty easily. And so I think it's really important to understand that when people leave the church because of a bad experience, it's not just their faith wasn't real, but there's something psychologically going on, how their biases are being converted from the church towards something else. And that's how human beings operate. I think that's why I think this statement about just your faith wasn't real after all, that just really fails to grasp how deep belief goes into a community. And when the person is separated from that community, it is really hard to maintain the beliefs they once held. And I think the church really in those situations make it worse by placing blame on those who are leaving. It makes it more difficult for them to return. It makes it more likely that they will take that statement and say, see, the church doesn't understand. It gives them ammo to affirm what they've already accepted, and that's that the church is full of a bunch of jerks who aren't considerate, aren't loving, and misrepresent their deconstruction position because they feel threatened. And I kind of think that's exactly what's happened in some ways. So I think that statement and that sentiment that people who leave the church did so because their faith wasn't real just really oversimplifies a complicated issue. And that complexity lies in human beings as emotional, psychological creatures who form their beliefs not just on logic and reason, but based on the community that they are a part of. Thank you. Okay, this is going way deeper than I thought it would. I hope this is easy to follow. I'm hitting a lot of complex issues, and I hope this makes sense, because this is something I am very passionate about, and this is something that I think needs to be said. I've seen these sentiments passed around everywhere, and I'd really think that the church would do well to stop and listen. And I really think that we need this discussion desperately. So I hope I'm not like getting too abstract, and I hope that this is making sense. What I've already said would probably be the most difficult to follow just because it's kind of abstract and psychological. So if you didn't follow all that, that's okay. What I'm about to say should be a little bit easier to follow because it's more tangible. So let's take a minute and talk about actual trauma. Now, I have spent the last year and a half or so just reading about trauma. Like, I think I've read 10 or 11 books about trauma and like just kind of studied things around that area because it's something that really interests me. And it's also something that is very important to me because I work with traumatized children. So, I mean, it's something I should know. So I've taken a lot of effort to educate myself on trauma, and trauma actually really does matter when we're talking about church hurt, because a lot of those who have left the church have been through something that is actually traumatic. And even if it's not like major trauma, like, you know, almost died in a car wreck or something like that, this is still an important discussion because people still can be traumatized by having their lives undermined. People can be traumatized by being hurt at church. I mean, a big part of trauma is not feeling safe. And a church is a place that we were told you should feel safe here. And so those who trusted the church and then were abused at the hands of pastors or congregants, some of them severely abused, they are going to have trauma. And trauma has triggers. And I know it's like kind of like politically demeaning to talk about triggers, but triggers absolutely apply to trauma. They are very, very real. I mean, I know like people make fun of like, oh, that snowflake's triggered or whatever. Like people kind of like misuse that word, but triggers when you're talking about trauma are very, very real things. They can be very, very small things that take a person who has been traumatized and literally their brain, when they experience that trigger, believes the traumatic thing that happened to me is still happening, and their body physiologically goes into a different state in which they believe that the traumatic event that happened to them is presently, like in that moment, happening, because their brain doesn't have the ability to distinguish between past and present. I mean, that's a huge part of trauma, is when you're traumatized, you're, I'm not going to get into like the brain science and stuff, but basically the part of your brain that understands timeline doesn't properly function, and you are not able to place things in the order of this happened and then this happened and that is now in the past and I am currently in the present. And that's why people who have been through trauma, when they experience these triggers, whatever they are, their brain literally goes back to that place where it says, I am experiencing this trauma again. Their heart rate could increase, they start sweating, or they shut down. There's a lot of different responses that someone who's been traumatized can have due to very, very small triggers. You know, the classic example would be a war vet at July 4th hears the fireworks and then starts ducking behind cars thinking he's in the combat zone. That's a very real thing. And people who have been traumatized in church can also have triggers like the smell of communion grape juice, or the feeling of the pew seats as they sit down, the sound of an organ playing. All of these things that are part of their church experience can be triggers. And so someone who has been through something that is actually traumatic and leaves the church, I think it's really important to understand that maybe they don't go to church because when they go to church, their body enters a fight or flight state, and it's extremely stressful and exhausting for them to be in that environment. Like, maybe that's going to take therapy, and that's going to take time before they can ever enter a church again. And instead of lobbing an insult grenade at them about how their faith wasn't real, maybe we should take time to listen to them, listen to their hurt, and understand that maybe they're not the enemy. Maybe they're literally just a victim. Maybe the church is not always the good guys, as we've been told to believe. Trauma is important, and I think the church is very trauma illiterate. Like, I think Christianity just as a whole is pretty trauma illiterate. And unfortunately, I think because of that, some people who have been traumatized by the church, who could be helped by the church, are instead shamed by the church. And that's a very, very unfortunate result of the church's response to deconstruction. The last thing I'd like to mention is the relationship between the church and God. Because a lot of times this sentiment, this idea that if you left church because you were hurt, you didn't have a relationship with God, you had a relationship with people. That, I think, misses the relationship between God and his people and the church. Because that is a very important integral part of the Christian life, is your relationship with God and also your relationship with others. And I think in our sort of hyper-individualistic American culture, we want to separate those two completely. We want to say that you as an individual have a relationship with God, and then you have a completely separate relationship with people, e.g. the church. And those are not the same thing, which, yeah, true, but they are not necessarily separate. See, the two are tied because the church is the bride of Christ. God works through the church. We see that all throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Ephesians. Paul talks about how the church is the bride of Christ, how the church is the body of Christ, and God works through that church in a very intimate way. If we think that the church can just get away with bad behavior and God's off the hook, then I think we've kind of missed that relationship. Because yes, I get it. The church is flawed. Everybody knows that. The church makes mistakes. Everybody knows that. The church is full of broken people. Everybody knows that. And I think that's not really helpful to point that out. What I think is helpful is to acknowledge what the church should be. Because I think the church can get kind of addicted to grace, so much so that it refuses to acknowledge the things that it needs to change and the ways it should be and the ways that the church should be accountable to God and representing God on this earth. God works through the church. And so people who have been hurt by the church, it makes sense for them to question the goodness of God. Because if God is working through the church and the church sucks, then is God really working through the church? See, that's I think, the order that it goes in. And I think there is a relationship between the church and God that is important and needs to be considered. And in our individualistic American culture, we tend to forget that Christianity is a communal religion. It started as a communal religion. I mean, a lot of the letters that Paul wrote are written to churches, not individuals. We lose it in translation, but whenever Paul says the word you, at least in every case that I've looked at, it's the Greek plural form you. It's not you individually, it's you as a group of people. The letters were addressed to groups of people. And even when Jesus teaches us to pray, he doesn't say, my Father in heaven. He says, our Father in heaven. It's intended to be a communal thing. Christianity is meant to be done together. And when we try to separate the communal aspect of Christianity from the relationship with God, I think we miss something very crucial about the Christian life. And that's that it should be done together. And so trying to separate those two into you have your relationship with the church, and then your relationship with God, I think that kind of misses the communal aspect of Christianity. And a statement like that, honestly, it's hard for me to explain all this, but basically that statement makes a lot more sense in America than it does in other more communal countries. Like if you were to tell someone who left a church in a more communal nation, like over in Asia or Africa or something like that, that, well, it's just because you had a relationship with the people and not God, that would make less sense to them because they see the relationship with the community as part of their relationship with God. And so the two are not necessarily separate. And so to separate the two, I think is very American, and I think it's very inaccurate, and I think it misses not only the manner in which our relationship with the community can affect our beliefs, but I think it also misses what the Bible is teaching us the Christian life ought to be, and what the church also ought to be. Because the bride of Christ shouldn't be abusive. And when it is, the church, rather than doubling down on the pain that people have experienced at the hands of that church, should instead acknowledge that pain, listen to it, and humbly learn from it. Rather than feeling threatened by those who are deconstructing, I think the church could learn a lot from them. Because yes, they are right. Christians should be a part of a church. As I said a second ago, Christianity is an inherently communal religion. But the church should also be a safe place for Christians where they don't suffer abuse. And if they do, they're met with care, concern, and love. And hopefully, arriving at the conclusion that so many people have seen from the outside, that something desperately needs to change. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the work that we do in Liberia, feel free to visit standingsidebyside.org. If you'd like to make a donation, there's a donate tab on that page, or you can just Venmo at Standing Side by Side, Inc. I do have plans to make a lot more of these. I'm especially excited to do a series called When the Helped Hurt, about when you're trying to help people who end up hurting you, which I have experienced a lot, and I have a lot to say about it, and I have a lot of thoughts that hopefully you'll find interesting. I'm really excited about that because that's a topic I hardly hear anyone ever talk about or address. So I've got a lot of thoughts there. So I'm working on this stuff, but also starting a business, also got a lot going on in my life. So they're going to be slow, but hang in there. We're not done. Thank you for those of you who have reached out. I always appreciate hearing from those who listen to this podcast. And yeah, just hang in there and keep the faith.